All right. Last time we were talking about the impossibility of evolution creating codes and intelligent patterns that guide the development of everything that grows, so that the baby in the womb, you know, the internal things begin first, and then arms, and then hands, and then fingers, and then fingernails. You know, it's all laid out in proper pattern. And if that gets messed up in a terrible way, some mutation thing, the child is damaged. Well, today we want to look at sort of part two of that, very short, compatible senders and receivers. The thing about the information that's part of all living things is that there has to, for a code to be given, a program to run, there has to be a sender and a receiver that have to be compatible. They have to match. Electronically, you know, if the things aren't working together, then it doesn't read each other. So, as we said last week, only intelligence creates codes, programs, and information. For time's sake, we're going to call it CPI. Each involves senders and receivers. Now, senders and receivers can be people. It can be animals, plants, organs, cells, or certain molecules. The DNA molecule is a prolific sender. And I was able to get real close and take a picture. Now, this, of course, I think is a drawing, but it was a great discovery when they found out it was the double helix, the molecule. I mean, you see how accidentally this was put together. This looks like artistry. This is perfect craftsmanship, and that's the molecule, the DNA molecule, deoxyribonucleic acid. So, the CPI, code, programs, information in a message, must be understandable and beneficial. When you stop to think about this whole theory of evolution, the idea is that there's a random change, and once in a while, once in a great while, that random change improves the being that was mutated. And when it improves it, it makes it better able to defend itself, that type of thing. But it would have to be beneficial. It would have to be stronger or see better or have a sharper claw or something, you know, something to enhance it. So is with all of this codes and programs and information, all the CPI, you could have the greatest information, but if there's no receiver to pick it up, or if it picks it up and it doesn't do any good, the whole thing has to be scrapped. It dies away, dies out of the gene pool. So it has to be understandable and beneficial to both sender and receiver, or otherwise, the effort expended in transmitting and receiving messages, whether it's written, chemical, electrical, magnetic, visual, or auditory, will be wasted. And so the time wasted in an evolutionary concept is that it didn't accomplish any benefit. It didn't help either sender or giver. And so it shouldn't be continued in the evolution by their own theory, you see. So, consider the astronomical number of links, message channels, that exist between potential senders and receivers from the cellular level to complete organisms. So, we have the DNA working in us today, but so it was at the very beginning. From bananas to bacteria to babies, across all of time since life began. Think of how large a number of messages have been sent for life to continue. All, for the, any of that to work, all must have compatible understandings, the CPI, and the equipment, matter, and energy. There has to be the information. There has to be the equipment, the matter, and energy for it to receive it. Had it been working at the very beginning, couldn't stop anywhere along the way. Couldn't redesign itself along the way. So designing compatibilities of this magnitude, so much information being given, being received, understood, and put into use by the receiver, and all of that end up benefiting the being, you see. Designing compatibilities of this magnitude require a super intelligence to figure it out, to understand the concept, put it into practice, and make it work from the beginning of time to now. Requires a super intelligence who completely understands how matter and energy behave over time. You see, randomness does not have superintelligence. Randomness does not have any design at all. So, in other words, the superintelligence must have made, or at least mastered, the laws of chemistry, of physics, wherever senders and receivers are found. The simplest, most streamlined way to integrate all of life is to assume only one superintelligence. If you were to suppose two or three superintelligences that were working, then we're increasing the likelihood that they wouldn't be able to correspond to each other. But we find this harmony of design throughout all of creation. One superintelligence. Also, the sending and receiving equipment, the DNA and then the part of the body that receives that and starts to work, including the energy sources, all that setup has to be in place and functional before the communication begins. How can we imagine that the receiver was evolved first so that then a sender could evolve? This is just too far-fetched. Pre-existing equipment provides no benefit until useful messages begin arriving. So, back in primordial times, evolution occurs and a creature is born that has the ability to receive all these messages. Well, it doesn't do him any good because there are no messages to receive. So it passes out of the gene pool. See? Then somebody else has the ability to send the messages, but there's no receiving equipment. That we lost that on the previous pass. So it had to be put together precisely in order. Therefore, my conclusion, intelligent foresight, meaning planning, is mandatory for this to work. Mandatory. Something nature has no ability to do.